So we're up to Avadim Ayinu, and the question was asked: Can you pray Arvit early on the night of the Seder? So technically, Arvit you could pray early after Plaga Mincha and accept the Yom Tov early, and you'll have the prohibitions of the Yom Tov early. But we have mitzvos. We have the mitzvah of drinking 4 cups of wine. We have the mitzvah of eating matzah. We have the mitzvah of recounting Tzias Mitzrayim. And the Torah says, "V'achluta v'sal b'layla zeh." You'll eat the Paschal offering on this night. And from there, Tosfos we derive that the Paschal offering must be eaten at nightfall, complete nightfall. And we say all the mitzvos share the same guidelines, meaning we have to finish all the mitzvos by midnight. We should really technically try to finish all 4 cups by midnight, even though no one does. We should finish the Haggadah by midnight, even though no one does. We should finish the Afikoman by midnight, even though most people don't. And we should, all the mitzvos have the same guidelines, just like the Paschal offering. But what we do is we adhere to it, at least at the starting point, where we don't begin to say there until it's really nightfall. So that's why, even though technically Ma'ariv you could daven earlier, but the Seder should not be started until it is Tzeis HaKochavim, until it is really nightfall. Because the mitzvah of Kiddush and Magid, the 4 cups, everything has to be at nightfall. Now, what happens if you're running an old age home? You're a chaplain at an old age home, and the people are going to have a hard time staying up till the end. So Rav Herschel Schachter suggested an interesting idea. He said, the songs at the end of the Haggadah, they're really just a custom. They're not really an intrinsic part of the Haggadah, the songs at the end of the Haggadah. They're a very important part of the Haggadah. They're the part that's possibly most memorable for your children. Kids love the songs at the end of the Haggadah. So you have to give it the proper weight, and it is a custom and everyone does it. But it's not really on the weight of the rest of the Haggadah. And therefore, if one would have to start the Seder earlier for the older people or the ill people, so then what one could do is begin the Seder with all the songs from the end of the Haggadah. Chad Gadya, Echad Miyodeya, Kilonae, Kiloyae, all the songs from the end, that you could do before Tzeis HaKocham. By the time you finish that, you're usually at Tzeis HaKocham. That takes quite a while. So that would be a good way. Rav Herschel Schachter mentioned that in the Shir. That would be a good way. If you have to compromise, that would be a good compromise. Okay. So we're up to Avadim Ayinu, and now we're beginning the story. Being that we're beginning the story, we said the matzah is lechem oni. Lechem oni either means poor man's bread, or bread over which we will be oneh, we will be telling over so much stories. So we're going to say now the story with the bread revealed and listening, so to speak, to our story. And those of you who wish can look up online. Rabbi Beryl Wein once wrote a fantastic article about how the matzah has listened to so many siddurim. What does the matzah hear from all over the world in Jewish history, what we've been saying in front of this matzah for so many years? So we have to answer the kid. Why are we doing all these things that are unusual? And we tell him, Avadim einu lefod mitzayim. We were slaves. It wasn't just that we didn't have a good living. It wasn't just that the economy was bad. It was that we were slaves. We were slaves, and there was a wicked king named Pharaoh, and was a terrible place named Egypt, Mitzrayim. There was such immorality there. You don't have to explain to the kids that people didn't know who was their own kid. Their wives were cheating on the husbands were cheating on wives, women were sleeping with women, men were sleeping with men. You're talking about the filthiest place on earth. And we were slaves there. And they were beating us, and they were torturing us, and they had a goal to break our spirit, break our souls, kill our men, and take our women for prostitution. That was the idea of throwing the Jewish boys into the Nile. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. Now all that you don't say at the Seder table. You guys have to know it. But you don't have to go into so many details at the Seder table. Vayotzieinu Adonai Eloheinu misham b'yad chazakah v'zvan etuyam. And Hashem our God took us out of there with a powerful hand, an outstretched arm. You know, some people throw a revolt. And look at what's happening in Egypt now. Did they win? Didn't they win? Is it going to be Muslim Brotherhood? Is it going to be the military rule again? Nothing's clear. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, everything was clear. The Egyptians came and said, get out! We give in! You won! God won! We can't handle this! Go! Hashem took us out with an outstretched hand. It was very, very clear what was happening there. They had a whole year, 10 plagues, and at the end of those plagues, no one had a question in their mind. Think about it, the culmination of it all was, we slaughter their God. What do we do on Pesach? We take the sheep, they believe in that sheep, that's the God. What do we do with that sheep? Slit its neck. We eat that sheep on Pesach night, the 15th of the month of Nisan. The month when they believe the sheep is most powerful, and the day they believe is most powerful, the 15th of the month, the Ides of Nisan. If God would not have taken out our forefathers from Egypt, we'd still be in servitude there. You tell me, but there are rebellions all the time. Just go look around the world. And I'll tell you, no. The issue is that we were so confused and we were so steeped in Egyptian culture that had we stayed there any longer, there wouldn't have been an ember left of the Jewish people. It would have been all over. Hashem came into the scene and saw, that's it. It's now or never. There won't be anything left to redeem. And so we'd still be there. We'd be Egyptians. Therefore, even if all of us are wise and understanding and old, and we all are masters of Torah, nonetheless, we have to recognize the greatness of what happened tonight. Tonight, now what happened? Tonight. On the 15th of Nisan, tonight is when it happened. This is the anniversary. We still have a mitzvah to tell over the story. And the more you tell, the better. So we got to go into details. We got to tell the whole story. And you might say, come on, maybe he's just exaggerating. So we bring a story about Rabbi Lozan, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lozan Ben Azar, Rabbi Kim, Rabbi Tarfon that were in Bnei Brak together. And they were all telling the story all night long until their students came and said, Rabbis, that's it. It's time for the morning prayer. And that's what we're going to read now. And don't go tell me all kinds of words. I don't care. We got to get to the story. That's the meat and potatoes of the night. There's a lot to say on this, but that's not the important point. The important point is what happened in Egypt. What happened in Egypt is Hashem said, I run the world. And I'm going to show you that I care what happens in the world. I might be omnipotent, but that doesn't mean I ignore the details. Quite the contrary. I take note. I take note that they forbade the Jewish women from going to mikveh. And so, they play around with the blood of humanity. I will play around with their source of humanity. I will play around with their Nile. I will turn it into blood in their faces. They believe the Nile is God. I will show them I control the Nile. I will turn it into blood. Rav Lozan ben Azariah says, this mitzvah is so important, the exodus from Egypt, that I've been fighting the rabbis my whole life, trying to convince them that you have to remember it every morning and every night of your life, and I didn't win the argument until Ben Zoma came along and proved it from the verse. That the verse says you have to remember it all the days of your life. And that word all, the word kol, is to encompass the night times as well. The sages kept saying, all the days of your life is to encompass the days of the Messiah. But Ben Zoma could finally convince them that to do it my way. And so every night and every morning we recount that we left Mitzrayim. And when I have to tell the story to children, I tell them a story. I tell them, let's imagine. Let's pause for a minute. Now this is a story I do not tell at my Seder, because Baruch Hashem, my children are on a higher level than this story. But you might want to use the story depending on who you're sitting with. Let's imagine we were all in Mitzrayim for a minute. Let's imagine you come home at night and you see your neighbor crawling. The guy can't walk. His blood, his back is all soaked in blood and he's been beaten so badly. He's crawling. And he stops. And he goes to sleep at the doorpost. He can't make it to the bed. He has no more strength to make it to bed. And you know you don't have the strength to help him. You crawl into your own bed. And you go to sleep. And you see that in about 3 hours they're going to come and pull you out of bed. And they pull you out of bed 3 hours later. It's still dark outside. And they throw you out to work. And you march like a soldier. You go out there. And you know your wife is going in an opposite direction. And she's going to be carrying bricks today. Working harder physically than you're working. And along come two old men. One's 80, the other's 83. And they say, Hashem sent us. It's over. We're leaving. And they do miracles. And you start seeing, hey, this is changing. And you see, everyone always believed the Nile was a god. Pharaoh always used to say he was a god because he controlled the Nile. And suddenly he's not a god. These two old men, they turned the Nile into blood. Now every night, before you'd go to sleep, you'd tell your kids about the past, the land of Israel, the future. Why do we name you Itamar? We live in a land where you don't have palm trees, but back in Israel, there we had palm trees. Tell your kids about where they came from and where you hope to go back. And these two unique individuals, they bring another plague. Frogs are hopping all about. And then the Egyptians are all scratching. They're still whipping you. You're still working. But it's been 3-4 months now where things are starting to look different. And let's fast forward, where although for the first 11 months, every night when you came home and told your kids a little bit about what's going to be, you also would pray to Zeus, and you'd also pray to Baal Tzephon, and you'd also pray to the Nile, and to the Pharaoh, and to the sheep, because you also believed there's a god, but there's the sheep. He's also a god. And now at the end of this all, you keep seeing miracles. There's hail and water falling down, and the Egyptians that believe that God is running the show, they stay alive. And the other Egyptians, they say, "Nah, our God's going to save us." You see, the hail killed their sheep, killed their servants, killed whoever walked out of his house. Now, it was an unusual miracle, because if you stayed indoors, then even if you lived in a hut that couldn't endure the hail, but God said, if you stay indoors, you show you respect me, I won't kill you. It's not a matter of the protection of the house saved you, it's a matter of your respect for God. If you recognize God's running the show, you don't die. You say, no, God's not running the show, I can walk outside, I'll be okay, you don't live. So you see all of this. And along comes the 11th month. And Moshe and Aaron call you in and they say, guys, take that sheep. I know you've been worshipping it. I know this is the month where you've always believed it's the most powerful thing. Slaughter it. And not only slaughter it, take that sheep, tie it to your beds, and watch it for 4 days. All of Egypt is going to see something unusual. You know, in Egypt, if a sheep would stand in the middle of the street, you don't move. You can't move the god. So traffic stops. No one would dare pull a sheep with a string. I mean, with a rope. You can't do that. That's God. So they didn't raise sheep in Egypt. But they also didn't treat sheep like cattle. They treated it like God. Along come these two old men who have done all these miracles. And they say, now put a string around its neck. Bring it to your house. And tie it to your bed. And you know full well that two things are unusual about this. One, you used to worship that sheep. Two, what happens when the Egyptians see you dragging sheep down the streets? They're not going to stand by quietly. They were the masters up until now. They're going to draw their swords and kill you. And to make matters worse, there's a civil war raging in Egypt. Because when the firstborns hear at the beginning of the month of Nisan that there's going to be a plague of the firstborn, so the firstborns, they come to Paro and they say, listen here, buddy, Ad Kan, we don't want to die. And Paro says no. So they join forces and they make a rebellion. And Paro sends his men, and there's civil war out there. They're fighting about this concept. Do we believe or don't we believe? The firstborn say, we've had it, we're not going to die over this. And Pharaoh and his men say, no, we're not giving in. So there's a war raging. And in the middle of it all, God says, now you bring that sheep and you tie it to your doorpost. Tie it to your beds. And God gives you another very funny mitzvah. You're supposed to leave Egypt. And Moshe talks to you about a future generation in the land of Israel. And then he says, now take that limb that you procreate with. And obviously this I don't tell kids. And slice off a piece called circumcision. Remember Father Abraham did that? Now you guys do that too. I'm supposed to go on a journey just after I had an operation. Ooh, that's some mitzvah. You tell me two unusual things. You tell me take the sheep, and you tell me to do a circumcision, a bris milah. If I'm about to go out on a journey, I'm not about to do an operation just beforehand. What tremendous people they were. They were born into slavery, they grew up in slavery, and they were able to say, this is a lie, and that's the truth. I don't have a problem understanding that 4 out of 5 of them were incapable of doing this. I am amazed that the Jewish people, that 1 out of 5 of them did stand up to the test. But this is the point, I added a lot of details here for you guys, but this is the point, I fast forward to the children, to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I quickly, in 2 sentences, like in a minute and a half, I summarize the miracles. I say, imagine you were in Mitzrayim, and you saw the Nile turn to blood, and you saw the splitting of the sea, and you saw the firstborns drop dead, and you saw all the Egyptians be killed. And you're standing there, and you just crossed over the Yam Suf, and you say, okay, now, what do we do to commemorate the fact that we left Mitzrayim? Because generations will pass, and then they're going to start asking, how do I know it really happened? And then, when I sit with a group of kids, I say, okay, Yehuda suggests we all wear t-shirts that says, I made it out of Mitzrayim. And Shimon suggests, no, that's not enough. Wear a baseball cap that says, I made it out of Mitzrayim. And Dov says, no, you're kidding. You got to have a flag outside your house. Every house has to have a flag saying, I made it out of Mitzrayim. And Yossi says, guys, that's not enough. I'm telling you, it's not enough. We have to have a declaration every morning and every night. I made it out of Mitzrayim. God is the one who runs the show. Amichai says, no, that's not enough, that's not enough. We have to commemorate that amazing miracle. We used to worship the firstborn. Here God killed all the firstborn. He saved our firstborn. We have to do something unique with the firstborn. And Bezalel says, no, that's not enough. Remember, the firstborn animals were also saved. We've got to do something unique with the firstborn animal. And Chaim Tzvi, I'm sorry. Mr. Binstock from Canada says, no, that's not enough. Well, you know, the mule, the donkey represents the Egyptians and the sheep represents Israel. We have to do something that shows that representation. And finally, along comes Yehuda and he says, I have a better idea. We have to do something that's even more powerful. Whoever made it out of Egypt has to cut off his nose. Yeah, cut off the tip of your nose, it will all stand out. We'll all know that we're the monotheists who made it out of Egypt. And then I tell the kids, you know, but we do all of that. So we don't wear a t-shirt, we wear tefillin. What does it say in the tefillin? On the arm, it says, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Hashem is one, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We say that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Hashem killed their firstborn. We wear that on our head too. It's not a baseball cap, I agree, but we do wear it on our head every day. What was your idea? The flag? Okay, we don't have a flag, we have a mezuzah. What does the mezuzah say? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I'm a monotheist. God pays back. You do what's right, He's going to pay you back. What was your idea, Yossi? Every morning and every night, you make a declaration. Well, that's what we just read here. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, every morning, every night, we make a declaration. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. What was your idea, Amichai?
The firstborn.
Firstborn. We do that, right? You know, we redeem our firstborn. We say, Hashem saved my firstborn. He didn't kill him with the Egyptians. What was your idea, Bezalel?
Yeah, firstborn animals.
Whose idea was
it? Firstborn animals. No, we do that too. We have a din of the pet terechem. We have firstborn animals. What was your idea? The donkey and the sheep, we do that. And what was your final idea? The circumcision. Don't cut off the nose, but do the circumcision. You know,
still,
we're very different than everyone else.
Okay. Wait, what is the donkey and the sheep in
the We have a mitzvah, ufeter chamor tifdeh v'seh, that the firstborn donkey has to be redeemed with the sheep.
Why is that any different than the Tzavos?
His is a different thing, that the firstborn animal is brought to the temple. It has a certain holiness, a firstborn of pure animal. His is specifically the firstborn donkey because the Egyptians are called donkeys in the Prophet. The Prophet refers to them as the nation of donkeys.
Isn't almost all of this in
fine. So, I'm just saying we have to bring it to life and bring it to practical terms. So again, if you're at a Seder where the kids are more prepared, then I don't think you have to bring this whole story to the Seder. But if you're at a Seder with a lot of beginners who are going to question a lot of things, so very often it's nice to point out to them that we, the Torah, it's not our own invention, but the Torah has given us every angle possible to commemorate these miracles. It's, you know, anything you could think of, what we wear, what we say, what we do every day, what we declare every day, what we do with our animals, what we do with our firstborn, with our circumcision, these are all declarations of monotheism, which is one of the ideas we're passing over to our children tonight. Remember, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem shows us, when Hashem reveals Himself in the Ten Commandments, as the Kuzri points out, Hashem says, I took you out of Egypt. The exodus from Egypt is at the root, it's at the core of all of Jewish faith. That's where Hashem revealed Himself. as well as the other concepts, that Hashem is running the world, He's watching over the world, He cares what we do, and there are things that He approves of and things that He disapproves of, and He ultimately rewards those that abide by His mitzvot and punishes those who don't. Okay. Baruch HaMakom, here we have a song, but we will start a new recording.